Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 146 of How Married Are You?
Okay, my name is Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married 12 years. Live in California. We got four kids. Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love and struggles. We ask how married are you? Every week on a Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
One, two, three, and...
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Did you not say that?
Yeah. Back to Tuesday and Thursday. What's going on? What's popping with y'all? It's chocolate baby story time. I have something terrible to admit.
Go on with your
I was slack. I was slacking on my pimping, and my son beat me in chess. 9-year-old beat me in chess. Mm. I don't know what I was thinking. I just was not looking at the board. No excuse. Mm-mm. He beat me fair and square.
Yep.
And shut up. You don't even know how to play chess. What does the knight do?
I'm just saying, at least, you know.
Yeah, but I don't need your cosign and cheerleading. Yep,
Is this all from the thing?
Yeah, it's all from the ceiling. So, anyway, the young man beat me in chess, man. And he will not stop talking about it.
No.
And you remember what happened last time we played hockey, and he said, your mama. I played him again, and I beat him real fast, but it didn't matter. He already beat me in chess. And so, yeah, man, good for him. Congratulations to Theo. Now I got to hear his mouth for the rest of my life.
Yeah, because someone asked him yesterday what has been his like favorite part of, because they've been on President's Week break. I think other places call it Ski Week. And Theo, one of the things he said was, I beat my dad at chess. He's really living that up.
I love it.
My chocolate baby story time has to do with Uriah Bow.
Oh, man.
I have no clue what is happening. But that boy is a hugging machine. Yeah. It's like no matter how many hugs he gets in a day, it's never enough. And as someone who is already being called on and touched on all the time, it's a lot. It's a lot. And so I am trying to...
It's getting more and more. It's becoming more and more involved.
Yesterday, it was like 10 a.m. And at that point, he had gotten like, I don't know, I want to say close to 10 hugs. He woke up. So from between 7:30 a.m. and 10 a.m., which is what, 2.5 hours, he had gotten almost 10 hugs already. I remember because I was like starting to count. When he got that hug at 10 a.m., I was like, let's make this one count because I'm afraid that I can't give you another hug until 11. I'm like, I can't give you another hug until 11 a.m. Y'all, at 11:01 a.m., who do you think was standing in front of me asking me for a hug?
Wow.
Uriah Bow. So I'm trying to be really good about it because I don't want him to feel like, you know, just as a black male, and you've even shared your experience. I think you even shared it here on the podcast about, like, hugs and how much they mean to you. My mustache again?
It's a little crumb.
How much they mean to you. And so I want that to be something that he gets freely and welcoming and whatever. I've even started adding kisses. So like he'll give me a hug and then I'll even hug him like you told, like you want to be hugged. So I'll like
squeeze
him around the shoulders or whatever and just make him feel like he's getting a really good hug.
Yeah.
And then I'll give his little puffy cheeks a big old kiss. That part's for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to love on him as best I can and still love have enough love to go around, you know? So.
Yeah, I've been trying to, like, because I've been getting the hugs too, but I just make him ask me for it. I make him ask me for hugs because basically what he'll do is he'll just come over and then lean his whole body on you and just kind of collapse on you. And I go, hold, wait a minute. Are you in need of a hug right now? And he'll be like, yeah. And I'll be like, okay, can you ask for one?
Yeah.
And then he'll say yes. And I'll say, okay. And I'll give him a hug. Or I'll go, what's going on? Why do you need a hug? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I make him explain it to me so I can also solve the problem. Because what happens is we sometimes as people, individuals, we try to get affection in replace of resolving an issue. And I just want to make sure that,
yeah,
you know, whatever the issue is, he's also getting that met. But it is a lot, man. Between, it was one time, it was kind of like, yo, it's like my fifth hug. You were like, this is my seventh. And we were like going tit for tat. And the boy just is like, I'm like, what is going on? But it could be so much worse. And this could just be a phase.
Yeah.
So enjoy it while it lasts, because, you know, who knows what's next.
Yeah.
Are you still looking for this? Or are you going to give up? Yvette is scrolling on the internet trying to figure out what.
Y'all, I saw a post the other day, and it's really frustrating because it's what is driving the conversation, or it's what sparked the idea for this conversation today. And I'm really frustrated because I feel like I don't really do people justice when I try to, like, surmise what they said. So I'm trying to find it in their own words, and I just can't find it, and it's making me so sad. But I'm going to do the best that I can. Oh no, that's not it. Dang it.
Gosh, are you gonna give up so we can start, or are you gonna keep looking?
I'm going to start right now.
Okay. She knows.
I'm gonna put this away. So we often talk about, you know, who you marry is not who you end up with.
Wow.
And I saw this post the other day, and it was like talking about how a lot of times we look at a generation behind us and we kind of become somewhat, and I, again, I'm probably butchering it, but we become somewhat judgmental of what they're doing, how they're doing it. You know, we think that they should be doing it this way, but they're doing it that way, and all the different things. And we're evaluating that said person's life or what they are walking through or growing through or whatever from a more mature version of ourselves. Like, hopefully it's a more mature version of ourselves, you know, like a place that is removed from that point in who we were. And I kind of was like, wow, that's really deep. Because I often do look at people and I'm like, oh my gosh, just get it together. But I wonder, like, when I was that age or when I was in that season, is this what I was like? But I couldn't see it because I was like in it. You know how
you're talking about the younger people or the older people?
What do you mean? I'm talking about
people younger than us or older than us?
Talk people younger than us, and then people older than us judging us for what we're dealing with or going about or how we're going about life. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy because I think everybody's wrong, but my people.
Your generation?
I'm like, man, my generation has got it going on, man. Everybody else is, what is going on with y'all? Yeah.
And you know what's crazy is I just came from lunch with someone who's basically been a part of my entire life. And it was a really cool conversation because I was like asking her, I was like, what is up with your generation?
Yeah.
I was like, why are you guys the way you are? And she was expressing about how, like, you know, we have like tunnel vision and they're kind of stuck in their ways. And it's really hard for them to be able to adapt to these like new ways of doing life because it's just the way it's been for so long. And she personally seems to be coming more open to things. She even admitted that her daughters had been trying to explain something to her, and it took her hearing it from another young person to be able to receive it. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of us, even in relationship with your spouse. Like, there are things that I've said to you and you've said to me that we've heard it from someone else, and it's a lot more clear.
Yeah.
But I think it, Jackie Hill Perry actually, she posted about something else a while ago, and she talked about like being in the shallow end of the pool versus like the deep end. You don't even know it's deep or how deep it is until you get there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that
until you get in the water
and you're like on that other side of the pool. And I think that's the perspective that we are all living with. You know what I'm saying? Like the generation before us doesn't really know anything until they've lived a little bit more life.
Talking about after us? The generation after us?
The generation before us, the generation after us. Now, it's kind of hard to talk about this because when you keep bringing up the generation after us, I'm kind of like, actually, they aren't there yet. I feel like we are more woke. I don't even know if woke is the right word.
I'm sorry.
See, generation, I told you I wasn't doing any justice.
No, but I'm just trying to figure out your definition of before and after. Mm-hmm. The generation before us is like the people who raised us.
Oh, I'm sorry. The generation after us. That's why you keep asking that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because they lived. Because you said they didn't live yet, but they lived.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So the generation before us, but you're talking about the generation after us.
After us, right? Yes. We're looking at the generation after us like, y'all need to get it together. What is wrong with you? Why would you even step into that relationship? There was a whole bunch of red flags from the get-go.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's just things like that. And it's like, there's so many times. And I'll admit this about both my brothers. If I just could take their life and tell them, hey, do this,
and
do that.
And control it. They would be.
Then they would be successful people.
They are successful.
I mean, they are successful people. Right. But I mean, like, you know, there's just aspects of how they're living their lives. I'm like, hey, just do this, do that, and then do this. And then, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
Hindsight is 2020. And there was actually, I did just see a post when I was scrolling looking for the other one that was talking about like being present with yourself, because I know we often talk about how who we marry is not who we end up with. And I think there is an element of grace necessary in understanding that who we are is not who we will become, especially if we are taking intentional steps in the present. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think too, we can overwhelm ourselves with always doing like this health healing journey, and like it gets tiring at times.
Yeah.
And then there are people like, I'll just say it. You know what? I'm just going to say it. There are people in your life. Glenn's ready to mute.
Mute button ready.
But I'm just saying, like, because for me personally, I will share a little bit that I am walking through something that I have to heal from, right? At the same time, I am a wife to a business owner. I am helping to make things happen in the business. I have 4 kids whom I homeschool and have to show up for on a daily basis. And so when you take this trauma that I have to heal from, it's like that's kind of low on my priority list, because right now, like, I need to show up here. And it's not necessarily that it's low, but sometimes I have to put it on the shelf so that I can like fully show up for you and our kids. And so sometimes when you start that process, the people who are involved in it want you to like hurry it along a little bit further so that we can get past this or whatever. And I'm in a place right now where it's like, I can't really hurry it along because I have too many other things to consider. And this takes me into another space that doesn't allow me to show up fully here. And these people don't necessarily deserve what we might call our leftovers or whatever that may be. But I just think that it's very valuable to understand and like extend grace to yourself that the things that frustrate you about who you are right now, that's a beautiful thing. Like, it's great to know that you're frustrated about that aspect of who you are, because there is a call to intentionality about overcoming or growing past or growing up through those things. And so it's not going to be who you are forever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I just feel like if you're in a place where it's hard to get into relationships and stay in relationships because of some character flaw or whatever, I don't think it's anything to like, I don't know, beat yourself up over in a way.
Yeah, I feel like there is something interesting about, I was listening to these guys in the NFL, the former NFL players talk, and they were like, you know, we are the first generation that have to provide for our parents and our future, right? Well, like, we're not the first generation, but like, when Black people get money, they give it up and down.
Mm.
Like, they give it to their parents and their children and everybody around them, right? It's a cultural thing, right? And I think what happens as we inherit anything or learn anything, right? Because richness just isn't in finances and wealth.
Mm.
It is in understanding and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we realize the power of being debt-free, we like, yo, parents, you might want to pay off this.
Mm-hmm.
Little brother, little, you know what I'm saying? Little sister, you might want to pay this off. You might want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, we begin to expect and call to a higher standard the people around us so that as a community we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that everybody can understand what the cost is when it's not just like give it to them. So it's like, you know, if I could just give you a degree, then you can go ahead and move forward with it. So if I had a, you know, if I had $100,000, I gave you, you know, $20,000, you know what I'm saying? You can move on with that or, you know, spend it or whatever you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But if I give you therapy, hey, go to therapy. It's really good. It's doing good stuff here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that person's kind of like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's almost like we're charging people with the work that we are understanding that's valuable. But I don't think people really understand that.
We're charging people with the work that we understand is valuable.
Right. So, like, we understand it's valuable because we are doing the work. But it's kind of like, they're like, man, I already got enough going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's why perspective is, like, super important. So we know on this side, because we have so many friends and family members that have experienced a huge gain with different things,
mm-hmm.
how valuable these things are. But these other people, they don't have any perspective. So that's why it's kind of like, and this is like another like jump on a topic, but people often like criticize Eve for like eating the fruit when she has they have no understanding of how long she was looking at that tree. Like, it could have been years of her being just like, dang, man, the snake keep telling me that this fruit is valuable and it's good, and I'm not listening and I don't want to. But, you know, 10 years of looking at something over and over and over again, you get curious. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And some of us don't have the bandwidth to withhold something for a moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, to discipline ourselves to say, no, I'm not going to indulge in that for a moment. So why do we criticize Eve? We don't know what, you know, we don't know what her experience is like. And we don't know what our parents' true experience is like. We don't know what our little brothers, little sisters' experience is like. And so as we look at these people, it's not as an open and shut case of just do this.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm a more, and I'm sorry, did you have a point?
I have more thoughts as you're talking, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna summarize it as this. I am more, I'm recognizing my whole thing. If I could write a thesis, it would be on proof.
Mm.
It would be on, all right, I don't need you to understand it, but I'm gonna prove it for you
mm-hmm.
by making it a requirement
mm-hmm.
in my environment.
Mm-hmm.
So not that I'm forcing people to go to therapy, but therapy just taught me not to deal with you because you bring me toward negative spaces. I had a conversation yesterday that ripped me apart. Oh, it broke my heart. It jacked up my day. It changed my life. And mm-hmm. I was so hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept calling people and, man, and did it, and then it, and this. And, you know what I'm saying? And I was so broken hearted about this conversation that I was like, dang, now I have to put a boundary up because I can't allow that to take me away anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I did a post the other day saying, like, don't give your children your leftovers. Don't give your family your leftovers. But I am sitting here by allowing this person to come into my space and pull from me. I'm using up all my energy and time on you when I should be giving that energy and time to my employees, my job, my wife, my children. You know what I'm saying? Not in that order, right? My
mm-hmm.
God, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these other places I'm supposed to be giving, and I just gave all my energy to you.
Yeah.
And you do not deserve that.
Which is what I was saying when I say sometimes we have to, like, it's good to be reflective and introspective and like do that work necessary to heal from past trauma. But sometimes we just got to put it up on a shelf and come back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you surmise your thought?
I did.
Okay. So I wonder if it's difficult for people, the generation after us, right? I'm talking about the younger people, the generation. I don't know why my brain's not wrapping around that. But I wonder if it's difficult for the generation after us to hear us because we're not saying it all. You know what I'm saying? The other day you said, what did you say? You said, I do it because you don't. What was your words?
I share because you don't.
Yeah, there you go. See how I forgot it that quickly? Glenn said, I share because you don't. And here's the thing. We share, but we can't even share it all because we are so busy considering the other people that our story
impacts
or involves. Ooh. And so I feel like sometimes people can't hear us because they don't have it all laid out on the table. Because we, as much as we want to share, we can't share it all because of the other people who will be implicated in what we share, the other people who will be implicated in our story. And so I wonder, what would life be like if we said, forget y'all, these people after us, they need to do better. We all need to do better. So if this implicates you and you don't like it, then so be it. But I'm going to make the generation after us better because, we can't keep going in this cyclical thing that is so unhealthy and toxic and just,
Yeah, because I'm curious on that because is it not honorable to those people before us to explain, right?
Okay, I'm getting all heated up, y'all.
Yeah.
And it's hot in here, too. But I'm just going to take off my jacket. Can you help me? So I was talking to a very wise woman today. Oh, my. I was talking to someone today. It was such a great conversation. But when I was listening to her talk, I was realizing that what's happening is our generation is becoming more aware of ourselves and where our behaviors are drawn from and et cetera, et cetera. And we are confronting it. We're being honest, not only with ourselves, but with everyone around us. And the generation before us, they're not there. And
they're not where though?
They're not in a place where they're going to therapy and thinking about their family of origin or being honest about the things that happened to them in their childhood and how that has impacted how they show up as an adult today. You know what I'm saying? And so because they cannot confront their BS, we are stuck.
Yvette is fired up.
I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated because, like, and this, and I'm starting to get a little bit emotional, but I feel like my entire life has been lived considering other people before myself, right? And even in sharing my story and sharing our story, I feel like we're still considering people before ourselves. And it's harmful. I feel like it's harmful. I feel like it's not beneficial for the people after us because they can't hear us. And the reason they can't hear us is because they don't have it all laid out in front of them. They think we don't know what we're talking about because we're only giving them bits and pieces. But if they had the full layout, then maybe then, like, because it's still a maybe, but maybe then we'd be able to help them prevent them or help them, like, not stumble into the same crap that we've been stumbling into. You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but I have a caveat to this because I feel like the main reason for sharing is to benefit the next generation.
Yeah.
When I think it's not about them.
It's about us.
It's about us.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got to tell you that the stove is hot, right? And I say, look, don't touch the stove, right? And you still touch the stove, it's because you don't trust me. If I show you the scars, exactly, that the stove is hot,
mm-hmm,
you're going to be like, oh, you got that from there?
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it wasn't that just because it's hot. It's because, you know, such and such left the stove on. So we got irresponsible, negligent people around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So instead of saying, you know, watch out because such and such is in the house and they leave the stove on, I would like to say, hey, such and such, turn off the stove. You know what I'm saying?
There is a thought,
but,
yeah.
So it's like, mm-hmm. the problem is, man, like, I was talking to people from the generation before us, and they were saying how if they had an issue with one of their like, you know, mentors or like loved ones who are older than them, they would never say anything to them. They would hold it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like it's a sign of, it's like no accountability.
Yeah,
I feel like it's weaponizing ignorance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
Like, I think that we're allowing blind people to drive on the highway or blind people to drive in the children's zone, in the school zone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like the security guard with a, like, a fully automatic weapon. Like, get off the roads. This is children here. You know what I'm saying? So though I do understand the reason, right, I think that we have a harsh reality in really trying to grow ourselves as a people because we are trying to honor and protect.
Ugh. Honor and protect.
Right.
We're trying to honor the generation before us and protect the generation after us.
And the generation after us is looking at us like, why didn't you tell me?
And where do we fit in between the honor and protect? Heal, honor, heal, protect.
You know, I feel like it gives me like the imagery of the movie 300. I don't know if you ever saw that with Gerard Butler.
Yeah,
it
was very gory,
very gory.
Yeah.
So it's about the 300 Spartans,
mm-hmm.
and the interesting thing about these guys is that they had this like formation to where they had a shield and a spear,
mm-hmm.
and they all like lined up together and all had each other's back, and it was like a big cone. But mm-hmm. anytime they could shoot the spear through the cones to stab whoever was coming toward them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our kids are in the center of the cone,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to, but we're also shielding them from the truth. So I don't know. I feel like there is a huge responsibility for us as a people to educate, right, our children and our the ones coming after us, but at the same time, charge the people who are responsible for, you know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is, whenever we say this, they go, I experience, you know, it's going to come back to bite you when you get older, right?
Yeah.
It's like your kids are going to do that to you. And I'm kind of like, I think that is appropriate.
Yes.
If my kids have a problem with something I did, then I need to be held accountable to it.
Yeah, and I think that even in our, at least for me in my experience, I am fully aware that I am not getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being a mother, being a parent, has made me more aware of the humanity that is my own parents,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I don't necessarily fault them for anything.
Mm-mm.
I am aware of their humanity. I understand that they did what they thought was best in the time being. Maybe it's not the way that I would have approached a situation, but that's how they decided to approach it. And I understand that when my children become older or adults, they are going to have probably a wider wealth of knowledge that informs them on decisions that they're making and shows them, like, man, my parents really effed me up right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I am completely aware of that. But I think that as we, like, drill into our kids, love, learn, lead,
mm-hmm.
like, that lifelong learner aspect of what we're trying to create in our four kids and model for them in ourselves, it just speaks to that. Like, we're always going to be learning not only, like, about ourselves, but just how to navigate this thing called life. And we are aware that as time progresses, like, things are going to start to come up that enlighten us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was talking to the person I was talking to today. They were talking about how, like, breastfeeding was never a thing for them. You know what I mean? Like, she couldn't think of any of her peers who breastfed. And she didn't know anybody in, like, the generations before her that breastfed. And it's, like, one of those things where it's, it was something that I think just because of, you know, history, slavery, and whatever, that it just kind of became a thing that was not among the Black culture. But once we learned about it, like, now it's a thing. And it's funny because I think about, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but.
No, I got you. I got you because I would say that the problem is with, like, the generation before us, I feel, is that we are men from this era who were, like, in the therapy and healing and all that stuff. We are on some, like, you know, they're like, you guys are soft. You're emotional.
Yep.
Da-da-da-da-da. And it's not, and I'm like, hold on. It's not that I won't slap you in the face. It's not that I won't slap you. It's that I'm actually capable of understanding why I'm slapping you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, oh no, this is from a childhood trauma that sparked this and this and this, and that was a microaggression, and I did this right here, and then, and whop. You're still liable to get slapped.
You may even know leading up to the action of slapping why you're about to slap them, but you still choose to slap them.
Now, I go to my homie. I always think about Rashawn.
DJ yes, Rec, I love
because
him.
Rec, man, he's so funny because you never know it's coming.
Yeah.
When he's like, hey man, I didn't like that. And he's smiling at you all the time, but you're kind of like, man, it seems like he's like revving up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like most men, we aren't able to articulate how we feel and why we're feeling. I was having a conversation with a person from the generation before us, and I'm saying a bunch of things that's irritating him, and he starts cracking his knuckles. And I'm kind of like, and I'm watching him, and I'm kind of like, I point to his fingers. I said, Are you good? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. But I'm like, I've seen him fight before. Mm-hmm. So I know his triggers. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, he's about to swing on me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, are you good? Because if you're not good, we cannot be good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that I just know what's coming.
Yeah.
But I recognize that you're unable to articulate yourself. You're giving me signs. And the fact that I can articulate myself and tell you why I'm emotionally irritated or whatever, that doesn't mean I'm less of a man or I'm soft. That just means instead of cracking my knuckles, I could say, you know, in the way you're speaking to me, I'm gonna have to remove myself from you because you're leading me down a path that I feel like I'm gonna violate my own internal rules with myself.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to become someone I don't want to become in order to be in a relationship with you, and I don't think that's worth it.
Mm.
Right? Instead of saying, crack, 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 crack. I'm about to punch you in the face.
You know what's interesting as you were talking about this and even as we've been talking about the whole thing? It's like considering the generation after us, right? Mm-hmm. All we can do is plant seeds, right? It's like you're tossing out seeds. And eventually, like whether it's meeting fertile ground or not, hopefully other people will come and water it and the sun will do its job or whatever. But when I think about the generation before us, I'm not sure if the analogy works, but I'm thinking like maybe if we keep tossing out seeds or whatever, they will start to realize that they gotta uproot their plant and put it in better soil or something, you know? Like, but even at that point, it's kind of like, is it too late? But the truth of the matter is like you look at the house plants, you put them in some new soil and you give them a little bit of water and they come back to life. You know what I'm saying?
I think you are very optimistic. And I think that's beautiful. And that's one of the things I love about you, right?
Sure.
Beyond you being sturdy and beautiful, you are very optimistic.
And the booty.
And the booty. But what I want to say, more importantly than that, is that acceptance is important.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what the generation, because you think like our little brothers and sisters are irritating us, our kids about to do a number on us.
Facts.
Because look what we're doing to our parents. We are irritating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we want to go somewhere. Therapy. That's our response. They're like, what? I just want to hang out. No, therapy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so who knows what it's going to be, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think acceptance is important. I want to be able to accept everybody, no matter what generation they are, as long as they're not violating me.
I think
or my family.
That acceptance is a part of the legacy of love. You know, like how we talked about before, I feel like that is a part of it. But I think that it's also important to realize that it doesn't necessarily mean access.
Mm.
You know, like you can accept somebody for who they are and then uphold a boundary that means like, hey, I love you, but I'm going to love you from a distance and you just got to do all that over there.
Yeah.
Type thing. Yeah.
Okay, babe. How married are you?
I'm so married that the other day I was doing laundry and your hoodie was in the laundry, but the string like was in the thing. So I pulled it all the way out, got a safety pin, and then restrung it.
Wow.
So that you had.
Which hoodie was it?
Your strings. I don't even remember. But
was it the gray one?
I don't remember.
Wow. That's love.
Right?
Because that is.
I took initiative. I didn't even wait for you to ask me. I just was like, let me help him out here.
Some wives would have just pulled that whole thing out and I would have just been stringless. Yes. I appreciate that.
How married are you, love?
I'm so married that the other day I was doing all the kids' hair and Anaya, it was about time for them braids to come out. And Anaya got in a little barber chair and I started taking out her braids and it took forever. I did not realize how long it takes mm-hmm. for those things to come out, and I was not okay with that. But I said, yeah, I'll take those braids out for you. You were like, you will? And I was like, yeah. I took them braids out, and I want to tell you, you were so excited. And yes. I realized after the third why you were so excited. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, because then the next day I just had to wash it. But, yeah, I appreciate that, babe.
Yeah. All right.
And that's just how married we are.